Before we would open God's word, let's bow our hearts in prayer. Father in heaven, we bow our hearts and our mind and our soul to thee this evening hour as we are together in the house of prayer. We ask you, O Heavenly Father, to bless our gathering and be in our midst and guide our thoughts and our words and our mind, that we would only please thee, that we would serve thee faithfully, and that thy name would be blessed. So be with us, O Heavenly Father. Bless us richly. This we ask in the blessed name of Jesus. Amen. God's help for this evening's meditation hour, let us find and read together from the 2 Corinthians from chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. I would like to begin reading on verse 14 and then end at the end of this chapter. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, beginning on verse 14 and end at the end of this chapter. Druga poslanica Korinčanima svetog apostola Pavla, 6. glava, a početak na 14. stihu i tako do kraja. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord had Christ with Belial? Or what part had he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement had the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Brother said in the prayer, we come before thee on bended knees. The only way to come to God is on bended knees. No other way to come before God. If we're not on bended knees, then we're standing, then we're proud. We cannot come before God that way. In humbleness and in meekness, the only way to approach God. That's the way he will receive us, accept us, and help us. So even this evening hour, we come before him on bended knees, in true humbleness. We come before him to serve him, to speak about his goodness, his grace, his mercy, his love that he has bestowed upon us. We were not consumed, even though we deserved it. You know, I'm reminded, there's a verse I'd like to read. Just give me a moment here. If I could find it fast. In Lamentation, Prophet Jeremiah says that, He says, this thing came to my mind. He says, the reason that we are not consumed is because of God's mercy and his grace and his love that he had towards us. It's the only reason. Otherwise, we would be consumed. Not just us, even the people of Israel. But because of his grace, we are not. For that reason, we need to thank him from the bottom of our hearts for his true love that he has given unto us. The portion that we read together, chapter 6, the last few verses that Apostle Paul wrote to Corinthians, now, this is not written to Corinthians anymore. It's written for us, for all of us. If we read it, accept it, it is for us. These letters, God made sure that they would be preserved for so many years because we can relate to them, because they are important for all of us, every single person. He starts off in 11 verse, we didn't read, but he says, O ye Corinthians. He says, our mouth is open unto you. We speak to you freely, openly. Our heart is enlarged. But he says, we are not holding back from you, but you, the Corinthian church, was holding back their affection to Apostle Paul. There must have been some false teachers that came and spoke badly about the apostles. So here Apostle Paul, in the beginning of this chapter, is suffering for his ministry. He's explaining to them, he's calling them to open up, to be free, to speak to him as he is free and open to speak to them. Apostle was not holding his affection back. He loved them. He cared for them. He worked so hard. Look how many letters he wrote. 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians. So many letters. They had a lot of problems. In the beginning, they were ready to separate. I'm Apollos. I'm from Paul. I'm from Cephas. They all wanted to go their separate ways with someone that they thought that was in charge. And he said, did Jesus separate? He reminded them they needed to be in unity, together, working together in God's vineyard. So he tells them, I speak as unto my children. Be also enlarged. Open up. Speak. Use your affection towards us. Let's work together. Be of one mind, one spirit. Serve the one God. Then he continues on and he says, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Seems like many in those days wanted to go back into the bondage, serve the law, being yoked together with the evil people that were serving idols, not the true God. We all know about the yoke. I'm sure many of the younger ones probably just seen pictures. The yoke made out of wood, carved out to fit the neck and the shoulders. And it was made for oxen, not one ox, for oxen, or two. And they were used to plow the fields together, always together. Even in Deuteronomy, I believe chapter 22, it says not to use an ox and a donkey together to plow the field. It will never work. Cannot work. They have to be equally yoked. So two oxen, the two have to be together. Same strength, same height, same kind, same type. Then they can work together. You cannot have one large, one small, one strong, one not. Both have to be the same. Even though when you had the two, plowing together, being tied with the yoke, it was always the one that would lead, would start. They always had one that would start, that would know how to lead, and the other one had to follow. They were yoked together. There was no going right if the one that leads goes left. You're tied in together with the yoke, you follow, you go together. Do the same thing. This verse we use many times. It's mentioned to young brothers and sisters before the marriage. And it is used for that. And it does mean when brother or sister gets married, they need to be married to someone that's equally yoked, that believes the same. Otherwise, it will not work. But it does not only mean for the marriage, it means for the friendship that we might have. We cannot have a friendship, a true, close friendship with unbelievers. Those that do not believe God, those that are evil, that are worldly, sinners, we cannot. Not possible. Same thing in a marriage. Husband and a wife have to be equally yoked in order for marriage to work. Otherwise, it cannot work. One will go one direction, the other direction. They split up. It will not work. The faith, the belief, the love for God has to be same, equally yoked. You know, Jesus did sit with sinners, but he did not sin with sinners. We work with many people that are not equally yoked. There are many that believe at our workplaces, schools, definitely. But there are many that we have to work with, and yet we cannot have friendship with them. They have different plans, different pleasure, the worldly pleasure. You cannot be in the close friendship and fellowship with those that are worldly, that sin. If we're close with them, most likely we will go with them. In order to have the friendship, we have to be like-minded. And we cannot, as Christians, we cannot. Now, there are many that believe God, and yet they need help. It's a different story. There are many that believe, do not have the understanding that they need. Perhaps they're close. So with those, we need to help, just like Jesus did, just like apostles did. All the Corinthians were non-members, non-believers, and yet they had a desire. If someone has a desire, then you can help them, draw them close to God. And when they do come to God, then you can have the close relationship with them. But this speaks here about the true unbelievers, the wicked people, the sinners, great sinners. We cannot have the fellowship with them. And he continues on. What fellowship had righteousness with unrighteousness? And what kind of a communion had light with darkness? Have you ever seen, I'm sure we haven't, seen light and darkness right next to it? Not possible. We all know the darkness was not created by God. Darkness is only the absence of light. If God is not around, then it's true darkness. When you walk into a room, it's pitch dark. Only way to get rid of that darkness, turn the light on. The darkness flees. It's gone. Immediately gone. Same thing in spiritual life. If we live in light, there will be no darkness around, nowhere. It might be far away, but not right next to the light. It cannot be, not possible. You cannot have the line and have light and darkness right next to each other. It just doesn't work. And what concord had Christ with Belial, or devil, the wicked one? What kind of a communion does God or Christ have with devil? None. None whatsoever. Then he continues on and says, or what part had he that believeth with an infidel, with the one that does not believe? In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, Apostle Paul speaks about the sacrifices to devils and so on, and he says that in verse 20, he said, I would not that ye should have fellowship with devils. Ye cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. You cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and of the table of devils. Again, not possible. Sometimes people try. They come to church on Sunday, serve God, praise God, sing, read. And on the weekdays, worldly pleasure. It is not possible. Either we serve one or we serve the other. One or the other. We cannot, as Apostle Paul says, be partakers. Lord's table, his grace, his blessing, his mercy, his love, and at the same time, they take things from the world. Again, not possible. People might try, it won't work. If we are partakers of devil's table, then we have no light in us. We have nothing to do with God then. It's simple as that. But we're not called to serve devil. We were all in the world. We served him already. You know, sometimes I know there are many that think that they can go in with unbelievers, the wicked people, the worldly people, and convert them. Sometimes it's possible, and we should be preaching the word to everyone, to our neighbors, friends, definitely. That's what apostles did, that's what Jesus did. But we need to be careful. We need to be careful if we go together with unbelievers, thinking that, well, we'll be friends with them, and somehow slowly they might come. Be careful that we would not be led away. Because we were in the world. The reason we were in the sin, because we loved the sin. We were all born as sinners, but many of us continued in sin because we loved the pleasures of this world. So if we get back, as Apostle Paul said, not to go back, not to be entangled back into the bondage. He writes that to Galatians. Why are you trying to get back and get entangled back into the bondage of sin? So sometimes if we have the close friendship, the unbelievers, they show us the pleasures that we used to enjoy perhaps, it might be easy to be led away. Instead of converting them, we might go the opposite way. So we have to be careful. But with those that are very, very wicked, evil people, we have nothing in common. We cannot. Not possible. Even in Ephesians chapter 5 speaks about not to have fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove, correct. God cannot be with devil. We, as God's children, cannot be with devil together in the same room, so to speak. Remember the story in Samuel. First Samuel chapter 5, when the Philistines took the ark of the covenant, God's ark. They took it. They had a battle with the Israelites. They took the ark. In their mind, they won the battle. They took something away, something very precious from the people of Israel, the ark of the covenant, God's presence. That was the most precious thing to people of Israel. The enemy took it. They won. They have something from the people of Israel, from their enemy. So they bring it in 1 Samuel chapter 5, right at the beginning. The Philistines took the ark of God and brought it from Ebenezer unto Ashdod. When the Philistines took the ark of God, they brought it into the house of Dagon, that's their god, and set it right next to their god that was made out of stone, I guess. Put it right next to it. God's presence right next to the idol that was made by hands in the same room, same house. And when the Ashdod arose early on the morrow, the next morning, behold, Dagon was fallen upon his face to the earth before the ark of the Lord. They were not able to stand together. And guess what? The God that's not true, that was made, fell down, bowed in front of the true God, so to speak. He fell down. Who pushed him? He fell down. He could not stand before God's presence. So they took it. Here is the God that they believed in. The people had to pick him up and set him in his place again. Put him back right next to the ark of God, of the covenant. Then they arose again next morning. They woke up again. They went into the house. The Dagon was fallen down again. Fell down upon his face to the ground before the ark of the Lord. And the head, it says, and the palms of his hands were cut up, broken. He broke in pieces. Just the stump was standing or was fallen down. But that was the only thing that was left from that so-called God that they believed in. And then it said, therefore, neither the priest of Dagon nor any that came into Dagon's house tread on the threshold of Dagon in Ashdod unto this day. They were all afraid to go in there. So they took, there's much to be said about it, but they took the Ark of the Covenant. So let's take it out, because this Dagon, our God, falls before him, broken in pieces. They took it to another place. And many people suffered. They were getting hemorrhoids. They were getting sick and died and got killed because of that. So they took it to another place. They moved them around, moved the ark, get it out of here. But they kept on moving it to their own cities. And they were all suffering. Finally, someone said, we need to take this ark of covenant, of God, back to its place, back to where it belongs. And they needed to offer offerings. So when they did, it came back to where it belonged. The point is that the true God or the false God was not able to be together with the true God. Same thing goes for us. It's God's children, God's believers cannot be together, have the fellowship, the friendship with idols, with unbelievers, wicked people, sinners, and there are many in this world. Yes, we all fail. We make mistakes, but the sinners that do not believe God, there's nothing that we can learn from them. There's nothing good that we can get from them. If anything, they will take us away, lead us away. That's the reason Apostle Paul is telling them, be ye not unequally yoked. You have to be equal. Apostle Paul reminds the churches, he says, be ye of same mind, same spirit. Think alike. There's one God, one baptism, one Bible. We have to agree. We have to be in agreement with the Word of God. So we cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of the devil. Just will not work. And what agreement had the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. When he says ye, means collectively, it's a church. We are the temple of the living God. And then God said, I will dwell in them and walk in them. You notice how he says, I will dwell in them and walk, not with them, but in them. He, the Spirit of God, is within us to protect us, to watch over us, to walk with us. I will walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. That's the true unity that we need to have with our Heavenly Father. Verse 17, it says, wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate. Separate yourselves from the wicked, unruly people. And be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. If we touch, even in the Old Testament, was forbidden to touch anything unclean, the people would be defiled. They would be separated. What is this unclean thing that we might have that we should not touch? Sin, the world. Sometimes we look at it. Sometimes we want to touch it just a little bit. It's the pleasure. It is. Many times, a lot of things are pleasant to our eyes, to our ears, to our mind, to our heart. We did leave it, and sometimes we kind of want to go back and look at it a little bit, touch it maybe, see it just a little bit, not much. But the problem is we do touch or see or hear or do things and think, well, it won't really harm us much. We might be led away. So we need to be in prayer, as I mentioned in the beginning, a brother mentioned prayer, come to God on bended knees in humbleness. And we need to pray every single day, every day. We have to have that communication, the fellowship with God on a daily basis, not on Sunday. Many people only do worship God on Sunday, some even twice a year. When the world says this is a special day. No, we serve God every day, every moment of our life, with our mind, our soul, our heart. We need to have the close relationship with God. It says, do not touch the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and my daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. What a beautiful promise. If we separate ourselves from the world, if we serve God only, with pure heart, sincere heart, loving heart, he will be a father unto us, and we will be sons and daughters. Is there anything greater than to be a son or a daughter of God? You know, there are many people that are children of some movie stars, someone famous, and people look up to them. Wow, they're known. But being a child of God, is there anything greater? There's nothing greater. And I will be a father unto you. That's a promise. This is what God promises unto us, that he will be our God if we separate ourselves from the evil one and if we only serve him with a true heart. May God bless his word. Amen.
I appreciated the reference that was made there in Samuel about the Ark of the Covenant also being there next to Dagon, and how Dagon could not stand next to the Ark of the Covenant, next to God. God says in his word, I am the Lord, that is my name. In my glory will I not give unto another, neither my praise to graven images. This is the God that we serve. He is to be served and him alone. And when we do, he desires to have that fellowship then with us and walk in us and call us sons and daughters of his, the Almighty God. And so just as it is that without God, there is darkness, there is light in the Lord, so likewise, there is life in the Lord, and without the Lord, there is death. And so it was that in Sodom and Gomorrah, that the Lord sent the angel to take Lot and his family out of Sodom, that he might destroy Sodom and keep Lot and his family alive. There needed to be that separation, because the Lord promised Abraham that if there were even 10 righteous, he would not destroy that city. But there wasn't even that many. And so there had to be a destruction. And that destruction came, but they were saved. Righteous Lot was saved out of that destruction of that city. And so we are encouraged this evening to be reminded that we are sons and daughters of the living God. And he wants to spare us from the wrath that is coming upon this earth. In Peter, we read that the Lord will not destroy the world anymore with water, but he will with fire. There is a destruction coming upon this earth, and it will destroy all that we know. Heaven and earth shall pass away. And God wants to save us from that. And so he's saying, come out from among them and be ye separate, that I might give you life as I destroy those wicked sinners that didn't want to listen to my word. And so I want to close here with some verses in Revelation. And if you would, in your mind's eye, picture this as vividly as you can, as this will transpire. The Bible says, and after these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was enlightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and is become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and the cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. And that's why God is saying here, come out from among them. And the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth have waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. Amen.